A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, who indeed is the victor over the world, but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one who testifies, and the Spirit is truth. So there are three who testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are of one accord. If we accept human testimony, the testimony of God is surely greater. Now the testimony of God is this, that he has testified on behalf of his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony within himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, by not believing the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever possesses the Son has life. Whoever does not possess the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you, so that you may know that you have eternal life, you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Verbum Domini. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Glorify the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you.
Praise the Lord.
He has granted peace in your borders. With the best of wheat he fills you. He sends forth his command to the earth. Swiftly runs his word.
Praise the Lord.
He has proclaimed his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not done thus for any other nation. His ordinances he has not made known to them. Alleluia.
Praise the
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. It happened that there was a man full of leprosy in one of the towns where Jesus was. And when he saw Jesus, he fell prostrate, pleaded with him, and said, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do will it, be made clean." And the leprosy left him immediately. Then he ordered him not to tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them. the report about him spread all the more, and great crowds assembled to listen to him and to be cured of their ailments. But he would withdraw to deserted places to pray. Verbum Domini.
Well, Merry Christmas to you all. As Father Mark shared, I'm Father John Maria Devaney of the Dominican Friars of the Province of St. Joseph. I'm currently stationed at the parish of St. Pius V in Providence, Rhode Island. So I said I'd say hello to all my parishioners out there if they happen to tune in while I was down here. I had the privilege of this week of being with the Friars of the Eternal Word to not only spend some fraternal time with them, but also be their retreat master next week up in Hanceville for their annual canonical retreat. So it's a great honor. The Dominican Order and the Franciscan Order are dear friends for many, 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 many centuries, really from the beginning. You may or may not know this, but St. Dominic had talked to St. Francis about possibly combining the two orders. Obviously, that didn't happen. So they wear their brown, and they can eat spaghetti easier than we can as we wear our white. It's the challenge of Dominican life, trying to keep the white habit clean. And we hear about being made clean today in the gospel where Christ cures the leper. But let's take a step back for a moment. In looking at this week between the Epiphany on Sunday, which we celebrate in this country, Epiphany Sunday. Since 1970, in fact, we've celebrated Epiphany on Sunday in our liturgical calendar. And as we prepare for the end of the Christmas season, which will be this Sunday, the Baptism of the Lord. So we have these days between the Epiphany and the days between the Baptism of the Lord. And we've been hearing in the Gospels all this week the beginning of the public life of Christ, right? So he has gone and had that time where he's been with his Father to pray, and then he goes to say, repent, for the kingdom is heaven is at hand. That's the first thing we heard this week. Then we heard about the calming of the storms, the feeding of the 5,000. And now, today, Luke gives us this one-on-one cure of a leper. And to think about how this man full of leprosy is cured, let's think about Jesus, right, as the second person of the Trinity first. So as we hear in the beginning of John's Gospel in the prologue that all things were created through the Word, and of course the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, we know that. But think about that all of creation was through Christ, all of creation through the second person of the Trinity. And now if the second person of the Trinity becomes flesh, right, the Annunciation, and then, of course, breathes his first breath on that Christmas morning or Christmas Eve and enters into the world as the little baby, now grows up as a young man and is beginning his public ministry in the church. And in not just that, he's establishing the church, really. Did you ever think about what was going on? Of course, we can't fully understand because obviously we're not God. But what was going on in the mind of Christ, linked with this beautiful humanity, his perfect humanity without sin, and then this divinity, right? As he walked the earth and he saw the creation that came through him fallen. So he saw that indeed there were viruses in the world, right? There was leprosy, is leprosy in the world. All these things, there was the muteness of lack of hearing or the lack of sight. All of these parts of his creation that were, if I may use the expression, failures for a moment. Now, of course, they're failures because sin, because death entered the world, because of Adam and Eve. And he's walking around and he's looking at all these things. And how burning, perhaps, again, this is speculating, not to know the mind of God, but to speculate Jesus and his human desires like you and I all have to make things better, to improve things, right? To heal things, whether it's to get over a cold, as we're in cold and flu season now, or it's the hope to maybe just lose a few pounds in the new year, whatever it might be. But the fact that he must have had this burning desire, dare I say, maybe to heal everything at once. Oh, let me just fix it now, right? Jesus and his human emotions that he had, that you and I have, in his hope and his anticipation or his joy, whatever it was, obviously not in the theological sense that he needed faith, hope, the way we get it in our baptism. But he looks around. And then he begins to obviously do these works, these miracles. But of course, he had to know, or he knew, excuse me, perfectly who he was going to heal, at what point, to what degree, everything, all the miracles laid out perfectly, yes, in the providence of human interactions that he came with, the free will of the very people he created, but then also to know how the plan of salvation was to perfectly unfold. So now we come to the leper, right? So this man is full of leprosy in one of the towns where Jesus was. First of all, this leper, he sees Jesus. It's his sight. He sees this man, this teacher, this person with a reputation, maybe already heard by word of mouth in the town that this man was coming, because the fame is spreading. This is all before Jesus, I guess, having the digital aspects that we have now, and whoever's watching or listening from around the world, that Jesus, we had good old word of mouth. That's how you went viral back in those days. You know, you didn't have to be on a phone or on the internet. And this is interesting. The leper falls prostrate, like the Magi. Falls prostrate. So the leper, in his brokenness, but really in his human suffering, puts himself before Jesus, this mysterious man, this healer, this Jewish teacher, right? This rabbi. So he prostrates himself just as the Magi did. So we're seeing the link of the prostration on Sunday and the prostration of the leper, wanting to be made clean. You know, in religious life, like Father Mark and myself and all the friars, before we make our solemn vows, even our simple vows, we have to prostrate ourselves. We put ourselves down in the chapel or church or cathedral floor. Even men who are ordained have to prostrate themselves. And consecrated women, religious too, the prostration, to put oneself, your nose is to the ground. And you're hearing the choir sing, and you're hearing the litany of the saints, or you're hearing the call to holy orders, or you're asking God's mercy before you profess the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. You're prostrating yourself. I don't know if any of you have maybe ever made a prostration in your prayers. Now, if you're elderly, be careful. You won't be able to get back up off the floor, especially if nobody's around. Or you could wear a life alert when you pray. And then if you get stuck on the ground, help, I'm praying, I can't get up. I was just trying to prostrate myself, Lord. And of course, many of our listeners might have a life alert as well, and many of our viewers. So be careful out there in TV land. Don't prostrate yourself without your life alert alone. However, though, that prostration, it's the ultimate way that physically we can place ourselves before the Lord. We're throwing ourselves before the Lord, asking mercy. So the leper does that. He prostrates himself, and now he's asking, though, for healing. Whereas the Magi were prostrating themselves to do homage, right? To pay honor. But in a way, the greatest honor that we can give to Christ in prostration is to ask him to heal his creation, right? Heal your creation. I know you didn't want this. I know you didn't want death and sin to enter the world, but you created us so freely and so out of love that Adam walked with you in the garden. You gave him the responsibilities of naming the animals. You gave him a helpmate in Eve, and you wanted to bring more life into the world, to have the family in the garden of paradise. But of course, that didn't work out the way it was supposed to, so to speak. And now we're asking the Lord in our own prostrations to heal us. And the leper says this, Lord, if you wish it. Of course Jesus wishes it. God doesn't wish anyone to be lost. That's why if you're ever worried about the salvation of your loved ones, people closest to you, or even the state of the world in which we live, right? Don't forget that God wishes the salvation of those we love and everyone in the world more than we could ever imagine. So the tears that might fall or the anxiety you might have for dear friends and family, and you see them on the road to perdition, nothing's over till it's over, as Yogi Berra used to say, right? And to let God's mercy work in their life until that moment. And again, somehow, some way, our prayers and prostrations are putting them in their own sinful leprosy before the Lord who wishes all to be saved. So Jesus wishes it. And of course, in his wisdom, his providence, and God's will, in his public ministry, this leper gets healed. Maybe there are many other lepers who didn't get healed. We don't know. We don't know all of Scripture except what's been revealed. And then here's what happens. The leprosy leaves him immediately. Immediately. We hear that quite often in the Gospels with the workings of Christ immediately, right? Think about it. God is outside of time and space. And he's in the ever-present now, like everything is always a now. Heaven will be a now, not an unfolding of time, right? We don't know yet, obviously. But Jesus heals immediately. Think about that connected back to the divinity, right? The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, no beginning, no end, right? immediately, all of these healings. So in a way, Jesus in his divinity, linked with this beautiful humanity, is getting what he always wanted from the original part of the garden, right? Through that divinity. So it happens immediately. And now he says, orders him not to tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing, what Moses described, that will be proof for them. Obviously, this leper was a Jew, right? Because he's going to go to the priest, the Levitical priesthood. But there's always something very interesting to remember about this encounter with this leper and also in the other Gospels about the 10 lepers, right? And the only one that comes back and thanks him. Who's the priest? Jesus, the great high priest. He's in front of the priest already, and the priest healed them. Now, he's going to the Jewish priest, obviously, but the priest is right in front of him, and the priest immediately healed him. And you and I have the great gift of having the priesthood now of the new covenant. Our Jewish brothers and sisters, they don't have the priesthood anymore. They haven't had the priesthood since 70 AD when the temple was destroyed by the Romans and the sacrifice, the animal sacrifice stopped in Jerusalem. They haven't had that. But now in the priesthood of the new covenant that we all get to participate first and foremost in our baptism, right? The priesthood of believers. But then the priesthood, the ordained priesthood, the holy orders that myself and Father Mark have, and our good deacon participates in as well, that priesthood now is the ministerial priesthood that we get to be in persona Christi and help with that cleansing. And of course, what's the greatest healing work that the priesthood of the new covenant does? Yes, there are some physical miracles that does happen, and of course, confecting the Eucharist in a few moments here, but the greatest of all of that is confession, right? We have confessions, fortunately, every day at our parish in Providence. We kind of hear all the city of Providence's sins. You know, I don't want to say there's a lot of sin in Providence. There's a lot of sin everywhere, but we stay pretty busy up there in Rhode Island. And that being said, we're like the urgent clinic, right? We're always open. The urgent clinics are packed right now, especially in places where the flu and colds are breaking out. But having confessions every day is like having an urgent clinic every day open, and you get healed immediately through the beautiful mercy of God. You go in, right? You don't need an appointment. Maybe we should have wait times advertised outside. You know, I see that now in some billboards and places, 20 minutes till you see, or 10 minutes wait time in the urgent care. Then we can put it outside the confessional, right? But that healing, when we go before the priest now in the new covenant, is immediate. The immediate absolution, right, of sins. A good confession, again and again, checking in with the doctor, the divine physician, and not having to have a copay, not having to go to the pharmacy, not having to get something put into us. Just the mercy and the love of God in the new covenant, always. And it happens immediately. Once those words of absolution are said, it happens immediately. And don't forget, too, this is very important to remember, priests need priests. I have to go to confession, too. Every priest has to go to confession as well. We have to go to the divine physician. We have to be healed immediately, too, so that we can be good doctors, right? Doctors eventually have to go to doctors, you know? There's always that mystery, where do you go, doctor? Who's your doctor, doctor, you know? Ask your physician, who do you go see, you know? Or sometimes you've heard it said too, and I was a hospital chaplain for a long time, that doctors and nurses make the worst patients, you know, because they don't like going to the doctor or the nurse themselves. But nonetheless, we all need that healing in the new covenant because we all have the leprosy of sin. The leprosy of sin, whether, God forbid, it's the breaking of the commandments and the worst kind of leprosy, mortal sin, or it's the lightest and the venial sins that kind of haunt us our whole lives, so to speak, almost, because the just man will fall 7 times a day, Scripture tells us, that nonetheless, we have that in front of the great high priest. We no longer need to have the rules of the Old Testament and the law to go get healed in front of Moses or get and do what's prescribed. This prescribing now is to stay humble, to follow the Lord, and to participate in the great sacramental life that he's left mankind, and to have access in this mercy. And we see that now in his public life. And you and I have that, and everyone out there who's watching this broadcast today has access to that mercy too. And if you do happen to be homebound, call your local pastor and priest. Jesus makes house calls, you know, he does that too. You don't even have to make it to the urgent clinic. Now, there's going to be about 50 priests writing, Father, why'd you tell him on EWTN? I got 10 phone calls after that mass. You know, good, keep the priest busy. We need to stay busy. Otherwise, we can get distracted like everybody else, right? Because we're human. We're not perfect. We're not Christ. So, in this season of Christmas that will end on Sunday. And for some of you who might keep the Christmas tree up till February 2nd, that old tradition of Christmastide and Candlemas, I don't know if that's devotion to old traditions or laziness. I'll leave that between you and God. It is still Christmas. We still have the joy of that. We have the divine physician in the season of sin, which, by the way, goes all life and all year round, still available for an appointment.